United. We're gonna give the boys a hand.
Well, welcome everybody to the official Leeds United podcast. Your normal regular host, Matt Lewis, is not with us this week, so I'm stepping in the hot seat and I'm absolutely delighted because I managed to get one of my old colleagues, Dom Mateo, back and we can have a good chat to a current Leeds United star. But Dom, welcome to the show, mate.
Bridgie, great to hear from you, mate. How are you doing?
I'm very, very well. Lovely to see you. Great to hear your voice, Dom. And I'm going to take you back. We'll have a little chat about our time at Leeds United. But first, I want to chat about the current season at Leeds United because, mate, there's a great feel-good factor around the ground at the moment. Our last game, I've got to say, was the win against Preston North End, the late winning penalty. So talk us through your thoughts on the season so far, Dom.
Yeah, it's been, obviously, we started a little bit slow. We know, I think the manager was trying to get everything sorted out with the rest of the team and the players and bringing people in. The first four or five games was a bit all over the place, and I don't think that was that down to the manager. It wasn't his fault at all. I think it was just he was trying to get people in the right places and giving people opportunities. And I think now we're seeing a more balanced team, a more balanced performance on a regular basis. And I think that's all down to the manager, and he's now getting all his thoughts across, and people are buying into it, which I think is so important. And he's doing such a brilliant job. And as you can see, when we lose a game, we don't lose another one. Obviously, we lost them two games. That's very unusual for this manager and for the players. So now we're backing up with four wins. I think it's brilliant. And I think I know we didn't get the clean sheet, which I'm always about. But in the last four games, only conceding one goal, for me as a centre-half, that's still brilliant stats because the players we have in the final third are going to hurt any team.
Yeah, I was going to tell you. I mean, leave the final third to me, mate. Leave it the strikers union. But defensively, you mentioned it there. I just think the dynamics defensively, you know, when we've had a lot of personnel changes in that centre-half unit. Talk us through Joe Roden and Amadou, the partnership that they've built over the last few weeks, mate, because I think, you know, Ethan was doing so well in midfield. To put him back centre half, what's the dynamics been like there for you? What's impressed you?
Yeah, obviously, I think they complement each other very well. They both read the game. Rodan's absolutely rapid as well, which helps.
Yeah.
His pace really is help for everyone, really, because a lot of fast wingers.
Does he remind you of anybody that you played with or played against as a centre half?
It's difficult to compare with any players, but obviously, could you go maybe something like a Woodgate? Because Woodgate was very, very quick.
Love that, mate. That's exactly who I was thinking.
Yeah, he reads the game well, doesn't he, as well? And I think at times, Woody was the same because his pace got him out of trouble at times. And I think with Joe as well, that's probably something he could work on. Obviously, he's doing very, very well, but I think we can all learn on that. Positional sense, I think, is very good. I think Ampadu as well, he glues it all together. And I think he's actually played more games as a centre-half than he has as a midfield player, if I'm correct. And I think what has really impressed me about Ampadu is that he's just happy to go out there and perform. And I think he is, for me, been the most consistent player this season.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt.
Just on it every single game. He's 7 out of 10 every week. And I may be doing him a bit, you know, maybe more than that, but he's just very, very good at what he does. And it's good to have players in your team like that. And I think we've got a few players like that. And maybe he's the talker, he's the captain, he's the organiser. You have to have that voice. And maybe it's coming from him. And I think he's just one of those people that you can rely on every week. You have to have them players in your team that are just, or every week, you know what you're getting out of them. And I think we've got quite a few of them now. And I think their partnership is really good, and I think they help each other out. And obviously with Rodan's pace, as I mentioned, and I think as well chipping him with a couple of goals, that's what you have to do as centre half.
Well, you know, you've just mentioned there, moving from the midfield position, the defensive midfield unit, what it has done, he's gone into the centre half unit and been amazing, but it's opened up a spot in that midfield, and somebody that we haven't seen enough of this season, but we're going to have the pleasure of having a chat with him on this podcast. You know, Ilyan Gruev is the man that has stepped into that position and he's embraced it, so I'm looking forward to hearing what he's got to say, Dom. But I'm going to take you back, mate. I'm going to go back. There's a jersey behind me on the wall there. It's an AC Milan jersey. It's Costa Curtis. Them European nights that me and you went through, mate. I think that was the your debut against Milan at home at Elland Road. And talk us through that night when you scored the goal, mate, at the San Siro.
Yeah, listen, great memories for all of us. Everyone was involved in the Champions League run. We all embraced it. We all loved it. And I think making your debut at Allen Road against AC Milan for me. And my father was there, my mum was there, obviously my dad being Italian. It was just such a special night. I'll never forget it. And we all know the weather was horrendous. But I think that kind of helped us in a way. And I think the performance of people like Smithy, you know, a young lad playing in the Champions League for his hometown club. I mean, what he did to Costa Curta and Maldini. I mean, he just absolutely battered them both. He was absolutely outstanding. And I think that just showed that passion. And for me, I went, right, I'm loving this. And I actually played left wing in that game, which is, you know, I played there a few times throughout my career, but I think sometimes they played me in that position, David, because I know he knew I'd do a job. Whether it's this defensively, I'm not going to give the ball away. That was one of my strengths, is keeping the ball in tight areas, even though I was a prominent defender. I didn't mind receiving it in them tight areas and just passing it on to somebody. But then obviously when we got to the going over to Milan and obviously scoring the goal and stuff. I mean, I did a gig on Saturday night, and as soon as I walked in, every 150 people just started singing it. And that went on for about an hour and a half, which, you know, you never get tired of in a way without getting big-headed, because I'm not that person at all. But it's just funny sometimes. It's just funny.
And just think of the joy that you brought to all them Blooming fans, mate, that want to share and give back to you, because that was an incredible night. Sadly, I was in a hospital bed that night watching. I became a fan. But the first night, the first game at home, I'll never forget. That'll stick with us forever, because, like you say, I played up front with Smithy, Maldini and Costa Curta. I hated playing against him, but Maldini had probably the easiest night of his life marking me, mate, because I didn't get a touch of the ball. But I've got the jersey, I've got the memories, and we've got the, you know, we had a cracking run. So without further ado, Dom, let's get into it. Let's get Ilya Gruev on the show. So Ilya, welcome, my friend. It's great to have you on. How are you finding Leeds since you've arrived?
I like it. I like it quite a lot. I live in Harrogate. It's nice though. And yeah, of course, it's a new country, new people, but the people are very friendly here. And it's very nice though.
Harrogate, eh? That's the posh place, isn't it?
Yeah, I heard so, yeah.
You know, I used to live there, didn't I? Ilya, I made a big mistake when I played for Leeds United, because I bought a house in Harrogate as well. Okay. But I didn't realise that the manager lived three doors up.
Oh.
So I could not go. I couldn't go out or do anything. Remember when I did that, Dom, with David O'Leary? I had a nightmare.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. But yeah, no, beautiful place. Yeah, so you've chosen well there, mate, Harrogate. That's a nice spot.
I think also like this, yeah.
It's a good place to settle in. So obviously you've made it's a huge transition coming from another country to settle in. You know, I had to do that in Australia 13 years ago. I made the transition. It's not easy. So how was that felt, and what's made it easier for the move over?
Yeah, the first thing it made more easier was the people here, which are very kind and friendly. This was quite important for me. And yes, of course, it's not so easy to move to another country with quite a new culture and everything, and the new football, which is the main thing. I'm here. You have to adopt. You need a little bit of time. And I think this is normal. And now I think I'm getting quite used to it. And but the very friendly and kind people here helped me a lot in all areas of the club.
Yeah, I think it's what I've noticed since you've come into the team. You seem you play very balanced. You understand the game. You know what you're kind of doing. Is it like Michael said, has it been difficult to adjust? I know you've got a good group of lads around you as well. It just feels like, for me, you're all on the same page. You're all fighting for the same thing.
Yeah, that's right. The quality is huge here. Especially also in my position, we have a lot of good players, and you have to show yourself, but also you're a team, you know, you want to win together. And it's not like every day you want to show that you are better than the other, you know, because it's a team sport. And the most important thing is that you win. Because of the quality of the players, you improve. You have to improve, otherwise you can't survive here. And this is very good for the whole team.
Well, I'm just going to read you a stat out, because what Dom's just mentioned there obviously is key to this. You were voted the man of the match in the league win against Cardiff City. Now, I know you've had to wait for your opportunity due to circumstances settling in, and obviously Amadou going to the centre-half role for that midfield. But the game against Cardiff, you completed 68 passes out of 70. An impressive this is a 97% success rate, and you set a new record for a Leeds United player. Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard it. It's nice though. but I heard, yeah, it's great also with the huge win in Cardiff. But also I think for my game it's important not to play only from side to side. You also want to play forward. And I think I did it also in Cardiff, also to play like more high risk balls, longer balls. And if you can do both risk balls and but also have 97% pass accuracy, then this is of course great, because I can also have maybe 100 if I play only back and to the side, but this is not the important thing.
What's it like when obviously you got so many players, forward thinking players, strikers, you know, we've got so much pace within that team. Is it at times where you want to get on that ball and try and find that pass from different angles?
Yeah, that's right. I know we have a lot of pace in the front, and I know I can pass the ball to every player in the front, and the player can create something. And this is my job to feed them, the offensive players, and then I know that they can create something.
Is Daniel Farke giving you that license as well, Ilan, to say every touch forward, look for forward passes initially?
Yeah, of course. This is also what the boss expects from us, and also he said, of course he wants that we have a good structure and we have the ball and have position a lot, but also he says every time if you have the opportunity to play a long ball and it's going to be a clear chance, then you have to play it. It's good that the boss is giving you this type of freedom.
Yeah, it seems like the manager, when he's come in, he just seems to have everyone. It seems like when I watch Leeds United play, it feels like what the manager's told you, you're kind of listening, you've listened to what he's told you and you're executing it brilliantly. And I think
everybody's embracing it, Dom, aren't they?
It seems like, yeah, there's a bit of a buzz at Elland Road. And obviously we lost that a little bit last year when we got relegated. But now it feels like there's a real high energy within the fan base. Everyone's up for it.
Yeah, of course. I think you felt it yesterday after this goal. The whole stadium was buzzing and such a great atmosphere. Also the last 10 minutes, you know, every time we get the ball, the whole stadium was buzzing and we want to go forward. And I think you saw it that we wanted this goal yesterday so much. And this is the reason why we get such a penalty and then we score, because I think you have to want it, you know, as a team, and the spirit is there. And if you do this, then the things are going to be well for you.
Ilya, you know when the referee kind of lost a little bit of the hold of the game, and there was a big challenge went in, and obviously then there was a coming together with the players. Did you feel the fans rise to that occasion as well? Because obviously that really got the Leeds fans pumped up, because they saw you as players' reaction. And did you react off the back of the fans lifting as well to keep that little push going at the end?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's from both sides. You know, the stands, they feel that we feel that the fans want, and then it's like a very, very nice feeling then on the pitch, because you feel the energy, and if you feel the energy, then it's great. And also we knew that they want to provoke us, that they want to interrupt the game the whole time, I think it was absolutely right that we won this game, and absolutely because of the whole energy, you know, of the stadium, and also from us on the pitch.
Me and Dom were just talking beforehand about our European journeys. I've got an AC Milan shirt here. Okay. We had an amazing Champions League run, and the vibe around the city and the vibe around the football club at Elland Road was huge. And, you know, that's what we're kind of getting back together and what we're feeling. You know, it brought back so many fond memories. So what's the key for you to maintain? What do you think is the key for the Leeds to maintain this kind of form and intensity? It's chase the teams up above.
First of all, it's amazing that you have such kind of of wins, and you have done such amazing things for Leeds, which is incredible. For us, it's now important that we keep like this, to keep the drive like this, to know every game we have to win. We want to win. These 3 points are so important every time. It doesn't matter against who you play, because 3 points are 3 points. And this is very important for us, and also to stick as a team together, which I think everybody saw yesterday.
Yeah, I've noticed that straight away. The team spirit is so important. Who's the characters within the group? Who's the ones who make you laugh? Who's the one who puts the music on? Who's the real characters within the group, you know, at Leeds?
Oh, we have a lot of funny guys here, I have to say. I would go with Charlie is a very funny guy. Yeah, I have a lot of contact to Jaden, which is also very funny. And yeah, of course, Cree, Willie are always good for a joke. yeah, we have a lot of players. And also, it doesn't matter if you're young or older. And this is very nice to see every day here.
Have you ever heard that Joel Pirou is quite a prankster? Is that correct? He seems a very quiet man, but I've heard a few things that he's...
Yeah, he has also a lot of memes, and he can show you every time some funny video on Instagram or I don't know which social media, but every time he's very funny.
When I played with Bridgie, he didn't have any banter. He wasn't that funny
at all. Steady on you. Yeah. You horrible man.
I'm only joking.
You're only saying that because I got you all the time. It was the ice bucket challenge that I hit. It's every time I went to the toilet, I got an ice bucket over the top of the locker onto the cubicle. Horrible. I got bullied. No, Ilya, you made a bold move, you know, coming from the Bundesliga Cup in Werder Bremen to come to Leeds, and you know the team that were heading to the championship. So can you talk us through your thinking and your thought process and how the move came about, please?
Yeah, of course. So I grew up in Bremen. When I was 15, I went there, and then I played 8 years for the club. And I felt in the summer that maybe I want to do something new, want to improve my game, also maybe another kind of football. And then, on the last 2 days of the transfer period, I want to do also something which is good for me. I wouldn't have changed the club if there wasn't such a good offer from a club which I knew and which is big. And then I have a talk with the boss, with Farke. And I have a very great talk with him. And then also I knew that Leeds is not the normal championship team. So I knew that we want to get promoted as soon as possible. And I knew it's a massive big club. And also I think everybody in the world knows that and the Premier League is the best league in the world. And we are very, very near to go to the Premier League, hopefully. So... I knew that this is going to be very good for me, and also because I can improve my game, and also I can improve as a person, which is also, I think, very important. If you can live with 23 and play for Leeds, I think there are a lot of worst things in the world.
No, I think you're right. I think you've said it properly there. It's like when I signed for Leeds United coming from Liverpool, I played at Liverpool for a long time, then came to Leeds United. Two different clubs, but with great history. And I had to adapt from being a Liverpool player into a Leeds United player. And the one thing I remember when I first left, Eddie Gray spoke to me, who's our coach at the time. He said, when you play for Leeds United, we want to see passion and we want to see tackles. And that's what I went out and did.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think sometimes that's part of the DNA of Leeds United, and the fans sometimes demand that in a way. They like people to put a foot in.
Of course. I think if you show on the pitch that you wanted it so much, and then also the people will have no problem with it when you make a mistake or something, but they want to see that you give everything and that you do everything for this club. Which is very nice, because you knew as a player, if I give everything, then the fans are behind you.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Well said, because you know what it takes to get promoted, because you did it with Werder Bremen and got them from Bundesliga 2 to the top division. That must have been an amazing occasion for you. But I just want to go back, because it's a big thing. I moved out when I was a YTS at Sunderland. I left when I was a teenager to go and live in a hostel. Now, I only went about 5 miles away from my parents. Now, you've moved from a young age from Bulgaria to Germany. So that must have been very, very tough for you. How did you handle the situation, and what were your parents' feelings behind that at a young age?
Yeah, so first of all, my dad was also a football player, and then I was a baby.
We know that. He was very good, eh?
Yeah, he was very good also, yeah. And we moved when I was a baby to Germany, my parents, my sister and me. I never lived really in Bulgaria. So I grew up in Germany, and then when I was 15, I left the home of my parents and went to Werder Bremen. And this was quite a difficult time, because I was 15 and my parents lived like 400 kilometers away from me. And it was tough because I'm a very family person, you know, I'm a very social person, and it wasn't so easy at the beginning. Also, you are in the boarding school with other players at Werder Bremen, and it was tough though because I didn't see my parents a lot, and especially like the Christmas days or something, you know. But yeah, I also get used to it, and I make a lot of new friends there at this age, and. Yeah, then it became more easier and easier. And so since I'm 15, I live alone.
Was it beneficial having a father that had played the game before? You understood the situation. Did he give you advice, or was he like my father, where he was like, you've got to stick it out. You must do this. This is the dream. Was he a nice mentor, or was he a hard mentor on you?
No, he was a nice mentor. I knew always when we played against each other, maybe tennis or football or whatever, and I was like 12, 13, 14, and he beats me in every sport, but he never let me to win, you know. He always beats me, and now when we do such kind of things, I win, and it's nice though now, but it's very nice to have a father who also played the game and who is now who is coaching now, because you can talk to him and he can also improve your game, you know, because he's watching every game of mine when he has the time. And we speak a lot about details and how I can improve and what I can make better or what I did great. It's very nice though, and it's like a communicative way, like we speak to each other. It's not like you have to do this. No, tell me what you feel in this situation. Okay, I tell you how I saw it from the TV or here from the stands. And yeah, it's very, very good for me, because he helps me a lot.
Yeah, I think that's class, that. Obviously, I think any kind of help you can get as a professional player, you take it.
Yeah.
You listen to what they tell you, and especially from your father, who's obviously experienced himself, he's coached and played himself. That's exactly what you need, and I think it's give you a good grounding to start your
Absolutely
career.
Absolutely right, yeah.
It's true what you're saying. Like football, I call it, it's the roller coaster, highs and lows. You know, everybody wants to do the job that we've done, and obviously what Ilya is doing at this moment in time. But there is some periods where we go through tough times. I had it with injuries, you know. Dom's had it with transfers and going from different clubs and things. And obviously after football, Dom, you've had an incredible battle to come back from. So you're an inspiration to many people. But to have that kind of advice from a father figure, that's, you know, being there and breathe it, I think that can be so much more beneficial.
Absolutely, it's very beneficial. Also, when you got times where, of course, the people from the outside don't see it so much like you, but for me, example, when I was the first 2 years at the first club at Werder Bremen and I didn't play, you know, I played for the under-23s, or it wasn't so such a nice time for me, you know. It was difficult. I want to play, yeah. But I didn't get a chance to play. And then to have parents, and especially my father, who helps me and who says to keep to be calm, to work, and that you will get the chance if you work hard enough. And this is how it get then there.
Can I ask you one thing?
Of course.
I don't want to cause family disruptions here, right?
Yeah.
Because your dad had 500 plus appearances in professional game. But I've had a look. Your dad only made 13 appearances for the Bulgarian national team, but he scored one goal. And his son already has 14. So you've beaten your dad in the appearance. So who's the better player?
Oh, I can't tell you that, because he was a little bit more offensive than me. But now after my 14 game, he congrats me. He said, well done. You have now more matches, games for Bulgaria than me. And you are only 23. So yeah, he's very happy for me, and he said hopefully you're going to have a much, much better career than I have.
Who's the players that you admire? Who's the players that, you know, as a young kid, who do you look up to, and who did your dad look up to as a player as well?
For me, when there was the prime Barcelona team with Iniesta, Xavi and Busquets, it was quite amazing to watch. And now I really love to watch Rodri. Of course, Frankie de Jong and Toni Kroos, for me, who is, he's playing since 10 years at top level for Real Madrid, has won 5 times the Champions League. And it looks so easy, you know, when you watch Toni Kroos, you think like, yeah, everybody can do it. But it's so difficult. And I appreciate his game a lot. And it's amazing how he plays.
Dom, you played against a very famous Bulgarian footballer as well, didn't you, when you were at Liverpool?
Yeah, Lechkov. don't know if you remember Lechkov.
Of course.
Have I pronounced that right? Yeah. I mean, he was an incredible player. I mean, we played in a pre-season friendly. I was at Liverpool and absolutely, I couldn't get near him. I was trying. Don't get me wrong, I was trying. But he was very, very good player. Like you say, he tore me apart. Absolutely tore me apart.
Well, the one that I used to love watching was obviously Stoichkov when he was at Barca and then back in his day. Stoichkov. He was incredible. And played against the guy. I mean, Dom, did you ever play against Dimi Berbatov? Because by the way, what a player he is.
Yeah, I must have. Yeah, I must have. Like you say, them people have got that great first touch and the awareness as well. That's a real skill to have both. And that first touch for me is so important in the final third just to kill that ball, and then you can do what you want then. It's just that first touch is key.
Well, where we're going with this, Ilya, is because obviously you're a real Bulgarian star now and you're one of a few Bulgarians playing in a major European country. So do you feel some extra responsibility and pressure that's going to come with that going into the future?
Pressure, not so much, but yeah, I hope that the Bulgarian football is going to improve because not quite a long time ago, we had amazing players, like you said, Stoichkov, Lechkov, Berbatov, Balakov, he played in Germany. We're such a great team in 94 in the World Cup in the USA. Bulgaria was fourth, which is amazing to be in the World Cup and to be fourth. But we have to improve the Bulgarian league and especially the Bulgarian players, because how you said it's a little bit sad that not a lot of players are playing in Europe from Bulgaria, and this is also the reason why the national team is at the moment not at this level how it should be. But hopefully we are going to make a great team with new players now, with younger players who are coming up and who have to transfer to Europe to play in a much better league, which is very important for us.
Yeah, it was really the other side of that I wanted to come to as well. You've at Leeds United, since we've seen you getting regular games playing, you can just see that the quality is starting to shine now, because I know how tough it is as a player from when you're trying to get the run of games and you're waiting and you might get 20 minutes here, 15 minutes there. You don't feel like you're getting the groove. So a couple of things from me, just for the listeners, what have your mental state been like when you've come to Leeds and you've been waiting for the opportunity? How have you handled that situation? Because obviously you've been ready and waiting for the moment. And since you've got the opportunity, how much have you really enjoyed it?
To be honest, it wasn't so easy for me because my friends in Germany, now you come here and then you come here because of the football and then you're not playing. It's not so easy in tough times. But then you say to yourself, you're professional, you have to work now, and if there is a chance, you have to use it. And then the chance was given me, and I think I used the time which I played, and but it wasn't so easy. But I think it's important that you don't think so much about it, because if you come every day home from the training and you think only about this, then it's not going to be very good for you, because then you don't feel free on the pitch, and then maybe it's not going in this way it should be or you want it to be.
It's true, isn't it? I think we can all agree. Sometimes when you move club and you're so used to your surroundings, like I was at Liverpool when I was 10 years old and left when I was 26, I was there 16 years at Liverpool. And when I moved, it was so strange. Actually, we played Liverpool in one of my first games, and I walked into the wrong dressing room. And you can imagine what Steven Gerrard and Jamie Carragher thought of that. They told me basically to get out, but a bit ruder than that. But it was it's just that muscle memory of being used to a certain place. And I feel the same now at Leeds United, the connection with the club now, even though I was at Liverpool for so long, my connection maybe at times is stronger at Leeds, because I think they've given me more of an opportunity, me as a player, to go out and express myself a lot more. Whereas at Liverpool, such a huge club, sometimes I had to be on the bench. I didn't quite get the opportunities. But when I got them, I used to try and take them. And at Leeds, I felt like I could fulfil what I wanted to do by getting more game time and playing regular. And like you get, it's always a fight to get into a good team. But that's how I approached it. I always thought at some point I will get in through my mindset and my attitude. And I can see that in a little bit when I've watched you play in the recent games. It seems like your mindset's much, it looks like it's in a good place, and it looks like you're enjoying your football. And I think that's hugely important to enjoy it.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Does it help having Daniel Farke? I know we call him the boss. Knowing that he understands the German, you know, he's obviously got a knowledge of German football as well. Have you had a good chat about that with him? Does that make you feel a little bit more secure knowing we've got a really good guy at the helm?
Yes, of course. When I knew that the boss is a German, and we played two times against Gladbach last year with Werder Bremen, and I knew him, of course, and you also saw it how they want to play in Gladbach. And yeah, the talk I had with him was very good. He explained everything to me, and it's of course nice though, because we speak German, you know, also with the coaching stuff, we can speak German. And yeah, we know each other from the Bundesliga, and it helps that you have this kind of connection.
Yeah, it seems every time I hear the manager talk, it always seems to talk a lot of sense. I mean, we've had managers in the past.
Didn't know what you're going to say there, Dom. I'm pleased you said sense.
yeah. No, yeah, definitely got lots of sense. But we've had a few managers who came in and couldn't quite fulfill what they tried to achieve at Leeds United. And whether that's down to pressure of being a coach at Leeds United, but I just think with your manager at the moment, he just seems like he takes it all in, doesn't say too much, says the right thing, which I know you have to do as a coach and as a manager, but I think he doesn't complicate it too much when I hear him talk. He just makes it a little bit more simple for people to listen to. And does he do that to you guys? Does he make it simple for you guys?
Yeah. Is that like the analysis sessions and the way that he tries to get his message from here across to use on the park and in analysis sessions? Yeah, that's a great question, Dom.
Yeah, I think the very nice thing is that he says what he thinks, you know. He's not trying to lie or to be another person, you know. He says what he thinks, and this is very important, because then you know as a player, okay, I can trust this guy. And quite a lot, I think the players have also the same opinion or vision what he says, and this is very good. And it's good for the team, it helps the team. But yeah, how I said, he said it very in front of the team, you know. I in front of the media, maybe it's a little bit it's something else, but here when we are in closed rooms, he speaks very honestly about the topics on and off the pitch.
I have to say, mine, there's a few managers Dom's mentioned there that Leeds have gone through in the past. As an ex-player, that you look and think, oh, I wouldn't want to play for this guy. In Daniel Farke, every time I turn up and I hear the guy speak and I watch you play, I want to get the boots back on him, because it just looks like such a, you know, not that I could do the running anymore, but it just looks like such a joy to play with. So, you know.
Bridgie, what? You couldn't run anyway, mate.
What I had to do, Dom.
You couldn't run, mate.
I had to get the ball and put it in the back of the net, and that's what I did.
I remember when I signed, first day, I smashed you in training. You never went near me.
Well, I admit I didn't like a challenge, but what I could do is get the ball and put it in the back of the net, lad.
I'm only joking. I'm only joking. I quite enjoyed knocking you over at times, Bridgie.
Listen, when you came up against you, Woodgate and the Chief, I had three very good mentors to get kicks from me, because every single one of you used to snap us in two. Now, really, away from football, let's talk about you. We'll go into a few quick fire questions, but I just want to know what are your hobbies away from the game? Because we've had a lot of players on here. Some like their golf. A lot of them love gaming. I know that we're going to try and get a game of FIFA and Call of Duty against some of the players online at some point. But what interest do you have away from the game?
I like tennis, but I can't play so much. But I also watch tennis, and I like to read. And to hear and watch podcasts. And also, yeah, sometimes I play also with the boys. FIFA, pro clubs. These are the main things. And of course, to be around friends, family members, it's the most crucial and important thing for me.
What about your diet? Because obviously, Bridgie's diet is not the best. So I'm just checking that you eat the right stuff.
I eat the right stuff. I try to. Perfect. Yeah, I think in this way I try to be very professional.
Basically, Bridgie lived in McDonald's.
Yeah. I certainly did.
Because we all used to have gold cards. Believe it or not, when you played for a football club back in the day in the Premier League, we used to get gold cards for McDonald's.
You meant you order whatever you wanted and it was free.
It worked out. So
yeah, it did. I don't know how.
It did for a little bit. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody listening. Up and coming future footballers, stay away from that stuff, please. Right. Well, you just talked about the podcast, right? So here you go. What do you listen to podcast wise at the moment? What can you recommend to our listeners? What can we go to?
So there's a German one. It's called Lanz und Precht. Then I like to hear Andrew Huberman podcast, The Diary of a CEO. It's also very nice with Steven. And Chris Williamson, Modern Wisdom.
Fantastic. Good recommendations to all you listeners out there. And also the official Leeds United podcast. That's a great listen.
Of course.
Current music. What's your music? What do you listen to?
A lot of things. I also listen to Bulgarian music, to German, hip-hop, rap, all kind of music.
Don, what was your go-to back in the day? You've got to be a Beatles boy.
Well, obviously, when I grew up in Liverpool, yeah, it was a lot of Beatles stuff. But I don't know. To be honest, I just like a bit of anything. I don't really care. As long as it's lively, I'm involved. Yeah, I like a bit of a dance-up with the boys. You know, back in the day with you, Bridgie, I've seen you dance as well, Jesus.
Dancing on the ceiling. Oh, what a feeling.
You certainly weren't dancing on that ceiling, Bridgie, believe me.
Oh, brilliant. Films, what we got for you, Lan? Films.
It means film.
Okay. Films. I watch a lot of films. The top ones for me, Inception.
Brilliant.
Inception, great film. I also like, now Oppenheimer was great, I think, in the cinema.
Oh, wow.
It was great.
Isn't that one of the best movies for a long time? Great. That was outstanding.
Great
that.
Film, yeah.
No, Shawshank Redemption's got to be the best of all time.
Which film?
It's
Shawshank Redemption.
Fantastic. Really, really good.
Okay.
If you want something to have
I have to watch
at.
It, yeah. Okay, I have to watch it, yeah.
It's incredible.
Okay.
Really,
incredible.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I watched one last night, Saltburn. Very, very strange. I wouldn't recommend anybody under the age of 18 watching it, but a very, very strange one.
I'm going to give you one now. It's an Italian one. It's obviously subtitles, because I can't read and write anymore, which is a bit strange, but I'm glad I watched this one. It's called Gomorra. It's about an Italian mafia situation.
Okay.
It is unbelievable.
Sounds good.
Gomorra.
Sounds good.
It's the best. I think that's actually the best one I've ever seen, series-wise.
Okay. There you go, Ilya. What a way to finish the podcast, my friend. A recommendation for an Italian movie from one of the legends of Leeds United. There you go. Now, listen, I just want to say thank you very much for joining us on the official Leeds United podcast. It's great to actually get to meet you. We've seen what you can do on the field, and it's an absolute pleasure to listen to you and see you, because I've got to say, you seem very mature. You're very well-spoken, and I think the transition now, you're getting the opportunity. We're seeing the best of you, and I know there's plenty more to come. So I wish you all the best for the remainder of this season, and I look forward to interviewing and having another chat with you in the near future, hopefully when we are back in the Premier League.
Also for me, thank you very much. Also thank you very much for the compliment. And it was really nice to meet such Leeds legends, and we will see each other soon, I think.
Good luck, mate. All the best.
Well, Dom, wow, we've seen him perform on the field, mate, and I really, really enjoyed having a chat with him there. Ilyan Gruev, what do you think, mate?
Yeah, seems a brilliant guy. He spoke really well. And like you say, I just think sometimes when you get to meet people and you listen to what they say, you can sometimes get a lot from that. The way he talks, the way he understands the game, obviously the background of his dad, which is helping him as well. He's integrated well with the players, his teammates. It seems like he's going in the right direction. But I think as well, he's not getting ahead of himself, which I think is really important. You know, understand where you're at. And I think he speaks so well, nice guy. Just want him to do well now for Leeds United and go on and have a great career. That's what we want. We want players like him at the right age who can stay and make this club great. I think he's one of those players we're going to see a lot of improvement from.
You know what I enjoyed? When he answered, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
The two, wait for your opportunity. and to then to grasp it. And like you said, I think the bit parts that he was playing, we didn't see the best of him and when he's been able to get a few games under his belt. But the way he said he struggled, but he stayed mentally focused and physically focused for the opportunity. We've got to credit that because he is a hell of a player. I mean, you don't play that many games in the Bundesliga. And I just think we're so lucky to have him at Leeds United.
I totally agree, Bridgie. I think again, you can see how balanced he is, even the way he talks, but the way he plays and the way he keeps the ball. It's almost, I'm not going to compare him to anyone, but like when we had David Batty with us, we knew at times Bats weren't going to do anything flash, but he was just very, very good at his job, very consistent. And I think with him as well, he's got that passing, as we've seen with his pass ratio, is very good. But also, I think he can go long as well into people. So I think we're going to see more of that. But I think when you first come into a team, you don't want to do anything wrong, do you? I think you've got to be good at the basics first and foremost when you first start. And I think now, I think he'll grow into that. And I'm not saying you're going to take chances, but you might see some longer range passes. You might see some different movement. I think he's got a lot more to come from him. But like you say, he's started very, very well. And obviously the manager trusts him, which is the key. If the manager doesn't trust you, you struggle.
He did do something wrong in the game against Cardiff, mate. He gave two passes away out of the 70.
I know.
68 passes, you know what I mean? Like, incredible. But yeah. What I love as a striker, I love the fact that I heard a defensive midfielder saying, "Oh yes, I cannot wait to play the ball forward. I'm allowed to play the forward passes." He's not a little stats man to get the numbers up. You know, I've played with a few of them over the years where before stats were like ready available, where it was just, "Oh, I'll get as many passes in as I can just to look good." You've got to do it with a purpose. So he understands that, and I'm absolutely buzzing. So yeah, that was a very, very good interview. Now listen, mate, before I let you go, just a bit about yourself, mate, because what you've been through, give the listeners and myself an idea of where you're at physically, because I do believe you've got another scan coming up soon, Dom, yeah?
Yeah, so obviously I started off every 2 or 3 months for my scans, then they increased it to 4, and then 5 months, and then now I'm at 6 months. So I'll be back in a couple of months for my next one. The last one was stable, which is the best I can hope for, being stable. Listen, I'm one of those people. I've got a good mindset. I keep myself fit. I'll be out again walking when I get home from this. I try and keep myself busy, active, still live my life, enjoy my life as well. I'm always on holiday with the missus and the kids as much as I can.
I know your Instagram's incredible, mate. I kind of keep up with you. I'm jealous.
There's a few more coming up, Bridgie, as well. I've only got another 2 trips. But no, listen, I'm turning 50 in April. So I think for me to be where I'm at now and the problems that we've had as a family, I always say it as a family because it's all of us involved, and Leeds United and other football clubs have got around me and really helped me when I need it. Even like people like yourself, sometimes I forget certain bits when I'm about to talk, and and yourself, Tony, and other people around the club will just give me a little prompt, and that really helps me on my memory, because when you lose your memory, it's so hard sometimes to get that back. I'll never get it back perfectly, but I always believe that I'm improving every time I do something. Even when I'm doing a TV, I know you do a bit of that as well. It's like you try and make an impression every time you go out there. And I think for me, coming back, starting afresh, can't read, can't write, can't see very well, living what I live with, it's like I want to inspire other people that there is a way to move forward. It's not always that simple, and I'm not saying it is, but I always say to people that if someone says to me, "I can't do something," I'll go and prove them wrong. I can do it. And I think that's the mindset I've installed in myself. I don't take things myself too serious. And I think at times I did, especially when I was first diagnosed with cancer. I was a bit more worried. I think now I kind of keep myself in the right place that I need to be in. And make sure that everyone knows that I'm in that place, because it's important I talk and communicate to my missus and my kids as much as I can. That's key. It's key to do that. And I think I'm very lucky as well, like you say, with my family and with you guys on the group and stuff, and my friends at Liverpool as well. I've got a few families, if you know what I'm saying. So I'm very fortunate. Not many people have that kind of help. And I'm very fortunate. And also, I got a life coach.
It's because you loved me. You loved
me. No, but Bridget, I had a life coach for a year. And one of my mates from Leeds, Jason, he paid for it. And that I'll never, ever forget that, ever. He said, "Listen, I'm going to do something for you and the family." He got me a life coach, a guy called Rob Latty from Leeds. He just sorted me out. I just had that 1 year with seeing him once a day for a year. And I tell you what, I highly recommend anyone, if they're struggling with anything, you get a life coach if you can afford to have one, because just that little bit of information Away from football as well really does help.
Lovely, mate. Well said. And that news is great, Dom. Put a smile on my face anyway, and no doubt all the listeners and the viewers will be absolutely buzzing to hear your road to recovery, mate. That's absolutely class. What I will say, you mentioned that I do a bit of TV work. Yeah, I do, because I've got a face for TV. You've got a face for radio. So thank you very much, Dominic Matthew. You smashed me enough. Yeah,
yeah. Whatever, kids.
I've waited all episode for that one.
I must admit, honestly, Bridget, you've had your clobber over the last 20 odd years is just getting better and better.
Cheers, mate. Dom, I've got to cut you off. The podcast's coming to an end, lad.
Cheers, guys.
Hey, there you go. Listen, to all the listeners, I'm not sure what is greyer, Dom's jersey that he's got on, or his hoodie, or his hair, but there you go. Fantastic to hear from both of them. It was great to have a chat with my old mate Dom there on the Leeds United official podcast, and obviously Ilya Gruev, a man that we are going to enjoy. So to all the listeners, enjoy, keep the support, follow the Mighty Whites, and MOT to every single one of you.
Well done, guys.
I had to get me two digs in there, you